If you would be so kind to turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the privilege that we could hear your voice and even get an inkling of understanding that you're there and you're here. You want to be with us, and you have designed the body of Christ to be people joining together and yet being used by you around the world and so many different shapes and forms, and so many different missions and callings. And we thank you that we could be meeting here in San Diego and that you would speak to us. May you speak to our hearts as we learn from this book of Ephesians of the great position of the body of Christ, that each one of us make up a puzzle. We're each a piece of a huge, beautiful puzzle that's reflecting you in this world. And we get great strength from you through the body of Christ. So we pray that your Spirit would open our ears, open our hearts, open our understanding, and let us see into your realm, beyond this physical realm, and let us be touched by the power of your Spirit's love. And may we leave here today new people with an enthusiasm and a desire to accomplish what you have created us to be and to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we already looked at the first verse. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And we looked at the importance for every person knowing what they were called to be, what they're called to do. Why are you alive? What is it that your assignment is? Are you training for that assignment? Are you involved in that assignment? Are you accomplishing that assignment? When we die and we stand before God, every person is going to give an account of themselves. And every idle word we've ever uttered, Jesus said, will be held accountable for. How have we handled our bodies? How have we handled our assets? How have we handled our time? How have we handled relationships? All of it is being recorded. And as we looked at that, we saw that it was all according to the will of God, that anything that would happen in our life would be according to the will of God. Well, in the second and third verse, he continues his salutation with these words: "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Grace and peace. And I'd like you to notice those are what are known as the Siamese twins in the New Testament. Grace always comes before peace. You cannot have peace until you've found the grace of God. Now, Jesus is the Prince of Peace, but you shall have the peace that passes all understanding, Jesus said. And it'll be peace like a river. But until you understand God's grace, you're not going to get the peace you're looking for. You may have grown up in an era when rolling a zigzag was supposedly the way to get the peace. Or maybe smoked a peace pipe. But that isn't how you get the peace. And if there's one thing you're looking for today, you may want to write it down and then cross it out after you get the idea from the Lord, is peace. Do you honestly have spiritual peace? God promises it to you. It's a salutation, but it comes after you receive grace. And grace is a simple word that can be translated to mean unmerited favor. You receive grace. Otherwise, you receive something you don't deserve. So you don't deserve eternal peace. You don't deserve all of the problems going away. In fact, one translation from the original language for that word peace means the cessation of hostilities. So it's the hostilities that are going on between you and God. It's for those to come and be settled. And you say, but I'm not angry at God. But you could be. Could go back to your teen years, your early years that mom and dad got divorced. There could be some horrible situation happening in your life. And deep inside of your soul is this hostility against God. You're angry with God. And this peace is the peace that passes all understanding because it's cessation of hostility. And God would bring that hostility to an end. That you may still be angry about some situation in your family. A teacher you had in class that embarrassed you in front of everybody else. Who knows? Could be a myriad of things. But God promises he'll bring that to a complete ending. And in doing so, you receive this forgiveness. Now, probably the greatest place of forgiveness that we need in God's grace is that we don't deserve to live forever. let alone do we deserve to miss physical death, that we don't deserve that. But Jesus died that death for us. That's what Easter was all about, that he would pay the price for us. So in the opening words, he's talking some pretty profound, deep thoughts, grace and peace. He's given them to you. That's how he's opening his letter. He wants you to have the grace of God, and in doing so, you'll find the peace of God. And with the grace of God and the peace of God, you remember where it always comes from, so you don't have to go to a party, go to a bar, go to whatever, to find peace or forgiveness, this grace that'll cover everything for you. It comes from, and I'd like you to underline this, because you're going to see how God uses these words over and over. It comes from God our Father, number one. That's where grace and peace comes from. There's nothing in the world that can give it to you. From God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So number one, God is our Father. He's God and Father, Creator God, the almighty, powerful being that was here before time ever was. He'll be here after time dissolves. He's always been here. There's never been anything or anyone before him. Father means he has responsibility to care for children. He's completely responsible for you today. And this is where you begin seeing his grace, is that you start surrendering everything to him, and you don't try to struggle with the things in this world anymore, and then the peace of God comes. He's your Father. And it's the Father's responsibility to provide for the sons and the daughters, to protect and to guard and to shield the sons and the daughters. So he's our Father, our God and Father, and this salutation comes, Paul says, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that is not his name. You may have a three-part name, first, middle, and last name. This is not his name, Lord, and then Jesus, and then Christ. Lord is his title. Jesus is his name. Christ is his position, the anointed one, the Messiah. And this greeting and this availability of grace and peace comes from God the Father and from his Son, who is the Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ. So that's where it comes from. Third verse, he said, blessed. And that word means, oh, how much to be envied or how happy. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's why I ask you to underline it the first time. Now he tells us that God is not only our Father, but he's the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So now he's over Jesus, responsible for everything that goes on for Jesus. And the Bible tells us that God was in Christ Jesus on the cross, reconciling the world back to himself. So when Jesus was nailed to the cross, God, our Father, who is also his Father, was inside of him, calling you and me and all the people for centuries back to himself. So now we realize he's God, our Father, in verse 2, but he's the Father of our God, Jesus Christ, in verse 3, and he tells us something that he's done for us. This God, our Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, it makes us all family right now, who has blessed us, past tense, and some translate that a perfect present tense, who is blessing continually without stop, who has blessed us in a manner that these blessings continue and continue, who has blessed us, would you take a marker and circle three letters? It's one word, all. A-L-L, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, another way to look at that, he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. So now there's a time-space division here. You're on planet Earth, you're in North America, you're in the state of California, you're in the county of San Diego, the city of San Diego, the neighborhood of Claremont Mesa, the street corner of Genesee and Mount Alifan, in the gymnasium of a junior high school campus, sitting in a specific seat, and God is communicating with you. He's aware of everything going on in the entire creation, but he's very aware of you. Now, in the heavenlies, or in heavenly places, means there's two worlds going on, And there are people that you know and love that are in that world, and you are in this world. And in the heavenlies, there are blessings way beyond anything that can be produced, manufactured, made, created, thought up here on this planet. And those spiritual blessings, they are numbered, because the word all tells us that there is a conclusion of the numbering system. If you have all your marbles today, you're feeling pretty good, aren't you? But if you're missing a few marbles, we're all going to keep away from you. All right? But the word all means if there is anything at all created, there's not part of it missing. God has everything that is possibly a spiritual blessing available for you, and they've all been given to you. So that's what we'd like to look at. You know, I'd like to show you a little picture. I just got back from Philadelphia, Sandy and I both speaking, and she went on into Maryland. She spoke at a East Coast Pastor's Wives Conference while I stayed in Philadelphia speaking, but she spoke and had the honor last Friday and Saturday to speak. There was a gathering of 1,000 women in Philadelphia to seek the Lord. And they asked me to close the women's conference. So I put a wig on and went up there and said, this is strange to be at the women's conference. But I don't think it's written down anywhere in history. As historical as the city of Philadelphia is, it's not written down anywhere that at any time during our known history, 1,000 women gathered in Philadelphia, the place that the Liberty Bell sits, and where Rocky ran up the stairs, that 1,000 women gathered to seek the things of the Lord. To Sandy and myself, it was like seeing the beginning of maybe a spiritual awakening in our country, right in the center of where freedom and liberty started, with our historical characters that we've all grown up with in our history books. And I was able to meet some people that really amplified grace for me. Well, first of all, times are really rough. Here's a picture in the airport in Philadelphia. Times are really rough. A man with his dog and cat, and the cat's flat out broke. So we know times can get rough. But when we know that all spiritual blessings belong to us and they're rightfully ours, and we begin to understand those blessings, then our lives can change, and our lives can just walk in a different dimension. So I'm trying to hope and pray that the Lord would take the book of Ephesians as we look at it. And over the coming days, should he tarry, you would see the other realm that's called the heavenlies right in front of you. It would start opening up to you, and you'd stick your head in, you'd start realizing there's more going on than we could ever begin to imagine. And yes, there is. There's more going on than we can ever begin to imagine. First of all, grace, if it's unmerited favor, there isn't one of us here today that really deserves to have favor at all. And yet God says, I will give you grace. And though you don't deserve to even have a last breath or another breath, I'll give you all the breaths you want and you need. You don't deserve to have things work out in your life, but God will help you that those things will work out in your life. Now, let me give you a couple of ideas of people that I actually met. Now, you know, in the Philadelphia, New Jersey area, there's a lot of organized crime and has been, and our country's been historical for Chicago and Philadelphia and New Jersey, New York, mafia members and organized crime. I met a couple of these characters that have come to the Lord. And one of them was telling a story, who was a pretty bad guy. He was an enforcer. He thumped people. And there was an area, a rundown area in Philadelphia, that was all gutted out, and it was made into an illegal gambling casino. And this guy had come to Calvary Chapel in Philadelphia, and he had given his heart to the Lord. Calvary has about 12,000, 15,000 people. So there's a lot of people that mingle in and out on Sunday. So this man goes on an evening down to this gang-ridden area that's pretty tough. Philadelphia had 6 police officers murdered last year. There are areas that the cops won't even go into because they're way outgunned, and drugs are huge. And this guy goes in and he takes a hammer with him, ball-peen hammer to protect himself. He hides it under his coat. And he's wondering if there's anybody there that's looking for him. You know, when you live that kind of life, you're always wondering, is there somebody looking for me? And he did that night. He saw the coast was clear. He walked in. He walked past a guy that's pretty good size, 6'5", 6'6", huge guy. He was an enforcer. He knew that he was an enforcer because that was his job. And he noticed that in his sport coat, he had his gun right in his waistband sticking out so everybody could see it. So nobody was going to mess and try to steal any money or cause any problem at that card game that night. So he just looks the other way, walks by, and he sits down. And as he's sitting there, he's looking over his shoulder at that guy with the gun. He's feeling kind of uncomfortable because the guy with the gun keeps looking at him and staring at him. Now, he had been an enforcer for years since he was a teenager. Now he's like in his 50s, you know. So he's wondering, something's going on here. That guy recognizes me. This is not going to be pretty. How do I get out of here? And sure enough, after about 35, 40 minutes, this big lug comes walking over to him, looking both ways, comes right up behind him, and he takes his hammer and puts it underneath the table. He's ready to swing and get this guy. The big guy looks both ways, and he leans down and says, "Yo, I know this isn't the right time or the right place, but buddy, do I know you? Don't you go to Calvary Chapel?" That's the kind of church it is right there. Another one. I was talking, they have a psychologist who heads up their counseling department for the church. And there was a lady that had come in, and when she left, her car was stolen. Well, she had left her purse and ID in the car, and somebody stole that car out of the parking lot. And so the director of counseling said, "Where's your cell phone?" She said, "It's in the car." She said, "Let's call that cell phone." So he calls him and says, and the guy stealing the car picks up the phone. And he says, "Hey, listen, I don't want to know who you are. Don't want to know why you did this. What I'm going to ask you to do is if you just return this car, it's a single mom with four kids, no job, please, just no questions asked, pull over wherever you are, get out and run away, and just tell us where it is. We'll come pick it up." And the guy says, "No way, I'm not going to do that." And he says, "No, please do. Just, you know, take the money, leave the wallet and ID, and have mercy on this person." And the guy says, "No, I'm not going to do that." And he says, "Okay." And he hangs up on him. Said, "Sorry, didn't work out." 10 minutes later, the phone rings. And in the background, they hear this guy and his girlfriend arguing and yelling. And she's cursing at him. And what he hears in the background is, "You stole this car to sell it so you could get me an engagement ring? You're an idiot!" And they're screaming and yelling. And so he starts yelling into the cell phone because they had hit the automatic redial. And he says, "Hello, Calvary Chapel." And the crook says, "Where is this?" He said, "Calvary Chapel, Philadelphia." And he says, "Hey, that's my church." So if any of you have any plans today to go home in something that's not yours, we've got the parking lot covered. Now that's grace. When a person could accept the Lord and steal somebody's car, that's grace. Apparently he had come two or three times. He finally came in for counseling, he and the wife. They got it all straightened, girlfriend, and forgiveness was given. Brand new Christian, had accepted the Lord like 3 or 4 weeks earlier, had come once or twice, felt it was his church. We see God looks at things in this light as grace. We don't deserve to be forgiven or let off the hook, but God has done that for us. And with that, knowing today that his grace is freely given to you, you now gain peace. That there's nothing you have to do. He saves you by his grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast and say, "Well, the reason God saved me is I spent 8 years in catechism studying the things of Christianity. Or I'm a minister." And there are a lot of ministers that aren't born again or have never really given their hearts to Jesus. And so when you get to the place that you no longer are trying to figure out or handle it, you've begun to understand God's grace. And then that grace brings with it a river of peace. You just accept. And in accepting, your life becomes much more peaceful. So the peace comes with God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but God is also the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you stop and you think of all spiritual blessings, that word all is very important before you go home. Because if it were some or a few or many, then you and I are in trouble today. But because it's all, we know that Jesus Christ is the truth. If it were a few of them, it would be Jesus and Buddha. You name the religious leader. If he had not put the word all in there, but you had received spiritual blessings, you see, I can give you a spiritual blessing right now. Bless you, my child. I could be nice to you, kind to you, quote a good scripture to you, come visit you in the hospital. I could give you a spiritual blessing, but there's no way I could give you all spiritual blessings. That little word means that if you've found Jesus, you've found the answer to everything. Now, if these blessings were not important, and all of them weren't important, then the devil wouldn't care, would he? Well, go to the Old Testament right now, to the book of Zechariah, just before you end the Old Testament. Go to the third chapter and look how important it is for the devil to resist people that are going to get blessed by the Lord. God has a plan to bless you, and it's not hard to imagine that the devil has a plan to keep you from getting this blessing. So Zechariah, the third chapter. Zechariah is just before you go into the New Testament. Zechariah, the third chapter, and look at this first verse. And he showed me Joshua the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, would you read those four words together, please? The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua is clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and he spoke unto those that stood before him, take away the filthy garments from him. God wants to bless him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused your iniquity to pass from you. And God would do the same for me and you. And I will clothe you with a change of raiment. And I said, I let them set up a fair mitre, a crown upon his head. So they set a crown upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. Here God is wanting to change people. He's wanting to give a change of clothes. God wants to give you a change of body. He wants to give you a brand new body that's never going to be sick. It's never going to be weary, tired. Never going to age. It's never going to feel any pain. It's never going to die. Satan is resisting the fact that God wants to give you eternal life. And he'll do anything to keep you from strengthening yourself. He'll keep you from weekly scripture time, weekly prayer. He'll keep you away from fellowship with the saints, being involved in your Christian community. And he's so brazen, he stands right at the throne of God, at the right hand of Joshua. As Joshua is standing before the Lord getting ready to bless him, and he's resisting him, but God turns with no other name that could be possibly higher, but says, the Lord rebuke you. He defends you. Now, had Paul written to the church of Ephesus and said, the Lord has given you all but one blessing, and I'm sorry, Joshua tried to get this blessing, and Satan is so strong that he took this blessing away from Joshua, so there's no way that any of you could get this blessing. We'd be in big trouble. But because the resistance actually takes place in the heavenlies where the spiritual blessings are from, and God has won all the battles in the heavenlies and on the earth, you have great potential today, and you should have great peace today that God is working on your behalf. And you're not going to be laying down in the airport with your dog and cat. It's all going to work out. God's going to honor you. God's going to bless you. God's going to honor his word. And he's going to bring glory to himself. Now, James, the half-brother, a child of Joseph and Mary, that grew up with Jesus, in the fourth chapter of James, the seventh verse said, submit yourselves, therefore, unto the Lord. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist the devil. Now notice that the resistance in heaven can get so powerful that only God can rebuke the devil. in the little short book of Jude, when Michael the archangel was disputing with the devil over the body of Moses, he dared bring forth no railing accusations, but rather said simply, "The Lord rebuke you." And you know, that's all you have to do this day, is simply say, "The Lord rebuke you." You don't need to arm wrestle the devil. You don't need to talk to the devil. You just simply need to say, "The Lord is my strength. He's my God and my Father. And he's the Father and God of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has given me peace and unmerited favor, grace, and with it, every spiritual blessing, all of them, and I do not have to put up with this. I am going to resist the devil." And for several of you, the devil is right in your front room. He has come into your house. He's come into your family. He's come into your business. He's come into your checkbook. He's come right in. You've let him in unbeknowingly. He's like a serpent. He sneaks in. He blends in and then reaches out and snaps you and bites you. In the 10th chapter of the book of Daniel, we're told to resist the devil and he will flee from us. He doesn't run from people that don't resist him. He runs from people that are strong and committed. In the 10th chapter, the 11th verse, we see that God sends, in answer to the prayers of a godly man, a mighty angel that could change not only that man, but could change that country, change the world, and change the future of the world, and bring hope. Just by the one man, Daniel, being focused. In the 11th verse, he says to him, "O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto you, and stand upright. For unto you I am now sent." And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. This angel is reminding this human being that God has sent me to you with a message, and you need to stand up and be righteous and hear and receive the message, and then let God do through you what he has planned. Then he said to me, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you did set your heart to understand, and to chasten yourself before your God, your words were heard when you prayed, and I'm come for thy words." If you were to say today to God, "From this day on, I am taking my relationship with you seriously," you better believe from this day on, heaven will take it seriously. And that means if Gabriel himself has to come out of heaven and come down to San Diego, he'll do it. And if you are willing this day to say, "I want to understand God's grace. I want to receive God's peace. I want to know, what does it mean, all spiritual blessings? What are these spiritual blessings? What does he mean in the heavenlies or in heavenly places? What is this other realm like? What did Jesus mean when he said, 'Behold, the kingdom of heaven's right at hand. It's right next to you. There's another dimension going on.' What did he mean by that?" Well, Gabriel shows us that God will dispatch help from heaven for any man, woman, or child that would like to know him more. "Fear not, Daniel, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia," that's present-day Iran, "withstood me for 121 days. Excuse me, withstood me 21 days, 3 weeks. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, one of the angels of God, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia." What he says is that when Daniel prayed in the previous chapters and said, "God, could you help me understand what this world is about? Can you help me understand what's happening inside of this country? Can you give me ears and eyes and a heart to receive and to be a spiritual person?" That prayer went up to heaven in a vial, a golden vial, with incense before the Lord. It tells us in the book of Revelation, God heard that prayer and said, "Gabriel, go now." Gabriel was immediately dispatched, a very high and powerful angel. And as he comes down over the atmosphere of the earth into the Middle East, in the area of Persia, present-day Iran, there was a demon spirit, a lord, a king, a prince, called the prince of the kingdom of Persia. He's over the country. And he did not want Gabriel to get to Daniel, because Daniel would be used to get the message to the people that God has more power than the politics or the devil. There is a power over the state of California, over the city of San Diego, that is resisting every opportunity for the Lord's word and the Lord's people to get out and do the Lord's work. And that power and principality can only be crippled when the people that he has enslaved turn around and realize it, and they rebuke it, and they resist it, and it leaves. That spirit that is broken up in powers of the water district, the electric power company, the neighborhood community group, all these little divisions of powers and principalities is exactly what God said through Paul in the book of Ephesians was what we are fighting against, and it's not flesh and blood. They are spirits that rule in these areas. So he said it was so powerful for 3 weeks, this angel that was available for the Lord at the birth of Christ has to fight with this demonic force, knock him out of the way only with the help of Michael, who had wrestled with the devil over the body of Moses. And then he says in verse 14, "Now I am come to make you understand. Now that I've broken through, I've come to make you understand what shall happen to your people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days." For the end of the world, Gabriel was given the ability to speak to this one man. His understanding would open up. And if you would read the book of Daniel, you would see the nations that are lined up right now, just like he said. Understanding. But in Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness and darkness in the heavenly places. But what are these spiritual beings? And what are these heavenly places that everybody thinks about heaven with the golden streets and going up there and departing? In John chapter 14, Jesus said some very interesting things. Because if we accept the word all, being in the first chapter, the third verse, then we must accept what Jesus has to say in the 14th chapter of John. And you all know it by heart. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. For in my Father's," there's the word Father, "my Father's house, there are many mansions." That's what Jesus said. "And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you could be also. And where I go, you don't know the way. There's no Google, there's no map that can get you where I'm going. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not where you go. How can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father," there's the word again, "but by me. If you had known me, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and you've seen him." And Philip said unto him, "Show us the Father and it suffices us." And Jesus said unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen," there's the word again, "the Father. And how sayest then that you show us the Father? Do you believe not that I am in the Father, and that the Father is in me? I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe me just simply for the work's sake. Truly, truly, I say unto you that he that believes on me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Well, there's that word Father, 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 Father. "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name," whatsoever, house payment, deliverance, healing, love, forgiveness, peace, grace, "whatsoever you ask in my name, you shall ask in my name. That I'll do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." And then look at verse 15 of John 14. "Father, Father, 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 if you love me," if you love me, you just don't go to church about him, you love him. "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, And he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall also live. And at that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Now he that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that really loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Well, Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself unto us and not to this world we live in? And Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now, if you stop and think of this, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house, my Father's abode, are many mansions. If you love me and you keep my commandments, I and the Father will come and make our house with you. Wow, that's not religion. He that loves me not doesn't keep any of my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, it's my Father's which sent me. So these things I've spoken unto you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So peace. I leave with you my peace. I give unto you my peace. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. So let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You've heard that I said, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I go to my Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes to pass, and when it comes to pass, so that you might believe. Hereafter, I'm not going to talk much with you, for the prince of this world, Satan, has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and that the Father gave me commandment, even so I do, arise and go from here. Did you know the word Father pops up 22 times in Jesus telling us not to be worried? 22 times he leans on his Father. And do you know 10 times he talks about love? The Father's love for him, the Father's love for you, your supposed love for him, if you keep his word, and your supposed love for the Father. And this letter to the early church in Ephesus is, our God and Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, and the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, grace, peace, that you have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. You see, not just some of them, you've been given all of them, because he's the way, the truth, and the life. And if the word all means inclusive of anything that you can imagine or not imagine, then there is not a religious leader on the face of the earth that has right to your attention for eternity. The Dalai Lama. I've never known a Dalai or a Lama. He's probably a nice man. I've seen him on television speak, but he's not God. He wears glasses. I don't know if you've ever seen him. An orange robe, and he wears glasses. For heaven's sakes, he has a prescription. He can't see well. He's a man. Buddha. If you've ever seen a carving, a statue, a lithoplate, a picture, he's got an eating disorder. He can't control himself. He's a man. There is none that could say that they are the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father. He and the Father are one. All of God's love is poured through his Son to you, that the love would come back, that I will put my focus on the Lord. I will learn your word. I will live your way. I want a relationship with you, that your grace so overwhelms me that Gabriel would come to speak to me and would be willing to fight for 21 days to knock the demons out of my life and my neighborhood so that I could get right with God. I want to love you, Lord Jesus. My heart is yours today, Lord Jesus. I'm not just talking about Christian Jesus, plastic Jesus, contemporary music Jesus, entertainment Jesus. I'm talking about my Savior, who is the authority of God to give all spiritual blessings that are in the heavenly place that can transfer to my name and account to help me make it through the rough times in this hostile place. When you think of a religion, you think of societies and popes and pastors and priests and practitioners. They're all men. Only Jesus has the right to allow one of his servants to send you a letter saying grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus and the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you have all spiritual blessings. He's not missing one of them. So if all blessings are there and John 14 says he's the only way you can get there, then you want to get closer to Jesus, since he said, if you love me, then you're a person that is continuing in my word. In Colossians 2:8, beware lest anybody cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you, ladies and gentlemen, are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you that also was in Jesus Christ. And that's the hope of this opening of the letter, that God is our Father. He's the Father and the God of Jesus. That all blessings that were ever designed by God, every one of them that are in heavenly places, are rightfully yours. And the devil's going to resist you. And the key to it is you staying in the words of Jesus and truly showing you love him, because you are a person that is not ashamed of this book. You stick with this book. And you walk with the Lord. Legend says that it happened in the streets of Damascus. A merchant sent his servant to the market. And when the servant returned, trembling and agitated, he said, while I was at the market, I was jostled by somebody in the crowd. I turned to look and saw Death. And Death had just bumped me in the crowd. She looked at me and made a threatening gesture. Master, please. The legend goes on to say, please lend me your horse so I can escape. I want to ride to Samara. And there I'll hide so that Death cannot find me. And later that day, the merchant himself was in the same marketplace. And he also saw Death walking in the crowd. And he said to Death, why did you startle my servant this morning by making a threatening gesture? And Death replied to the master, that was no threatening gesture. It was simply a startle of surprise. I was startled to see your servant in Damascus, for we have an appointment tonight in the city of Samara. Don't let death rob you of life. God our Father sends his grace and his peace to you and reminds you that all spiritual blessings are yours, and he will hand them to you one by one, and he'll let you enjoy living here as you show your love to him through his Son. And his Son will protect you from death and bring you into light. Shall we stand and shall we pray? Lord, we're grateful that you can just write a couple of sentences about a letter, and yet you can open up heaven to us. And we thank you in these opening words of St. Paul that you are a gracious God, full of grace and willing to give us that grace. That we don't have to fight, we don't have to wrestle, we don't have to struggle. We don't have to make up for the past. We don't have to do things what we feel would be right to be justified to receive a blessing from you. We thank you for that grace, that you've done all the work. And as we've seen this past Christmas, that Jesus not only was crucified for our sins and buried in a grave, by your mighty power and your grace, you resurrected him from the dead, so that we may live. And we thank you, Lord, that you didn't stop there and just say, oh, you know, you're good people, you're Christian people, but you said that grace will bring peace. And as many today are wrestling and fighting and struggling and trying to make ends meet, trying to figure out how they're going to do whatever, you tell us there's peace. And this peace comes from Jesus. And Jesus tells us that you're his father and that you love him and that you love the boys and girls and the men and women that love your son. And to show that we love you, you have simply said through your son, be a person that lives according to my word. Be a disciple indeed and continue in my word. May this be one of the first weeks of our lives where we have spent a lot of time just sitting alone with Jesus and his words and those spiritual blessings, Lord. We're not totally sure of how many there are and what the number of them is and where they're all located, but we thank you that you have blessed us with all of them. And the only way to get to them is through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you forgive us today of our sins, cleanse us of our unrighteousness, and free us? And may this week, when we're not in the house of the Lord, but we're out in the marketplace where death is jostling people and bumping into people, may we be focused and may we be consumed with thinking of you so the things of this world don't get more attention. May we not run, but may we stand in your ever-loving presence. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.